The disturbance. It was now week two, and astonishing progress had been achieved in the realm of tools and technology within the alien settlement. A significant breakthrough occurred during this period when they stumbled upon abundant reserves of metals. This discovery marked a turning point, triggering a remarkable enhancement in the quality and efficiency of their tools. The newfound availability of metals sparked a wave of innovation, resulting in the development of more intricate tools and even basic appliances. These advancements propelled the settlement forward, transforming it into a vibrant hub, reminiscent of bustling towns depicted in classic Western movies. However, as people gravitated towards the areas where the leaders resided, a form of segregation began to take hold. While the construction of the marketplace was still underway, the settlement started exuding an energetic and lively atmosphere. People eagerly utilized any metal resources they could find, either to trade or to fashion various items. Witnessing the remarkable craftsmanship of the settlers, the leaders approached seat number 14 and his colleagues with a special request to create tokens that would serve as a currency. These tokens held intrinsic value within the community, representing a meal from the cafe or a unit of hydration fluid. In total, a grand sum of 20,000 tokens was meticulously produced, placing a cap on the available supply. However, only 18,000 tokens were distributed, with each individual receiving a modest allocation of 6 tokens. This ingenious system facilitated the exchange of goods and services, nurturing a sense of commerce and trade within the settlement. Moreover, it ensured equitable distribution of resources among all residents, fostering an environment of fairness and cooperation. It was now day 5 of week 2, and the big M3O meeting was soon approaching, and Joe was finally ready to bring his program to the table. Just as they were going over their different battle and hunting formations, an uproar of excitement and joy engulfed the eastern side of the settlement. The sound of applause and jubilant chants reverberated through the bustling field, and from a distance, you could see the crowd growing in size and enthusiasm. "Hooray! Welcome back! Quickly, get them some help! Hooray! Welcome back!" "Joe, what in the world is going on down there?" "Magnus. Sir Joe, I think 3 guys went into the forest and got attacked. Right now they are being rushed over to Harry and Dr. Weber to get treated by the owl lovers." "Joe, someone broke the restriction rule? And why are they celebrating the rule breakers? Get their asses over here to me now. Something doesn't seem right here. Make sure to bring them to the law enforcement office building. I'll gather the other generals and prepare those rule breakers' process of banishment." Magnus. "Sir, yes, sir. Should I take the birds with me?" Joe. "If you're talking about your team, then no. You and your pet should be enough to handle things if it comes down to that. No need to bring the others into this. Lady V wouldn't appreciate the hostility the 5 of you would bring into her zone, and to prevent a conflict within the council, it's best that we play it cool. We don't want this to affect the program we've been putting together for the last 8 days." When Magnus got over to the health research building where he was tasked to bring in the 3 rule breakers, Harry came out to him, informing him that his soon-to-be captives were under temporary quarantine for the day. When he finally got to see them after a day had passed, Magnus saw their haggard faces and instantly went on full alert and was sure to hide his expression from them. Just from a glance, he could tell that these men were dangerous, and he could tell that they had seen some things, but he was also impressed that they made it back and couldn't wait to bring them to the generals to hear the account of their unsanctioned venture. Upon entering the law enforcement office, Magnus announced his arrival as his captives followed him in a single file. There, the 4 of them met 3 persons sitting on a long, hard wooden bench and another standing off to the side. Before Magnus could introduce them, a man stood up among the 3 and introduced himself as Big Daddy Joe and began addressing Mr. Major, asking him to give a report and a reason for disobeying the established rules. With all the formalities, Mr. Major responded by saying, "Sorry, sir, I'm not the team leader, therefore it is not my place." Joe. "What the fuck do you mean the team? Did you really put together a plan to break the rules? Wasn't this a desperate attempt for adventure or something corny like that?" As Timmons stepped forward, General Jemski screamed with amazement and surprise. Jemski. "Yo, you're fucking alive! This moment feels so unreal I could kick a horse." Joe. "Huh? Do you know these people?" "And that's not a known saying. Stop taking the seriousness out of this situation." Jemski. "This is Team Uno. What day is it? Day 13? Day 14? Whatever. I cannot believe that they are still alive. Get your asses over here, you three. Lady V. My friend, wait just a minute. What if these three aren't who we think they are? We should first get their account as to what happened over the past 12 days. Jemski. What do you mean? Who could they be? You don't think they are aliens or something, right? Why would the aliens only send three back and not all five? To not make the deception believable. Lady V. I don't know. We should be careful. We've seen the kinds of things that are out there. We know it's difficult to stay safe or alive in the forest. That may be why they only sent three of them back. Joe. Stop all the pointless worrying. They spent a day in quarantine under Weber and Harry's observation in your zone, Lady V. If those two and their team could not figure out if these men are humans or not, then we deserve to die here by their hands. Lady V. It's simple. The alien technology is far superior to our own understanding. Maybe the medical professionals can't find what they weren't looking for. But I understand what you're saying. Just know that if these three persons are ever caught snooping in my area, pray to the Most High that I'm not around to balance this wrong on behalf of the human race. Jemski. Listen to me. The fact that these three men managed to come back in one piece means that they are humanity's biggest advancement. These three being back will set the new direction in which we need to go. Look at their sturdy faces. Besides looking like their genetic makeup was part stone, you can clearly tell that they are chiseled with survival experience. Joe. It's time we talked about some real shit. Everyone, including me, thinks that rules were broken, and we can't just sweep it under the rug. But before we dive into what's going to happen next, let's lay it all out on the table. So, you all remember that forest we ain't supposed to set foot in? Yeah, to my previous understanding, some of our people decided to take a stroll right in there. Now, don't get me wrong. I might have gotten some information wrong here and there. But you three don't need to worry. I ain't here to play judge or jury. We all make choices. And sometimes those choices come with consequences. Sadly, my choice made me look like a fool. So I'll try to give you the floor to tell your series of events as best as you three can. Reports 1 to 4 were given by Team Uno. It took some time, but Timon was able to condense their survival ordeal. However, during Timon's monologue, Lady V caught sight of the goat carrying the perfectly shaped box they found. A mischievous glint sparkled in her eyes. She couldn't help but imagine the delectable taste of a savory goat dish, so much so that her facial expression betrayed her thoughts. With a sly smile, she glanced at the goat, imagining it out in the wild, and whispered to herself, "Look at that tasty cutie. It's so delicious, I would kill to have a taste." As the words left her mouth, Lady V was shocked and started chanting a prayer to herself. "Balance is one. All life matters. Life for a life. Knife for the thief. Death is nothing and nothing is all. Protect his peace is to protect his life." Lady V's desires, for the most part, remained confined within her thoughts. She knew that indulging in such cravings would not only be morally questionable to her god, but also disrupt the harmony of nature in this disrespectful environment. Thus, she quickly refocused her attention on Timon's monologue and recognized that the goat played a big part in their return and the significance of the box within the narrative. Right then and there, she decided to appreciate that animal's presence for its symbolic value of that team's willingness to find a way rather than its culinary potential. Determined to maintain her composure and respect the sanctity of the moment, Ben, who was standing the closest to the goat, saw a familiar look in Lady V's eyes, a look that showed a need to consume and devour absolutely. It was the same look he had been giving to Lady V the entire report. As he watched, disgust filled her eyes as she muttered to herself, and at that moment, she switched her gaze. Ben noticed that her eyes were now focused on the goat's back and quickly grabbed the box and placed it on the ground in front of the generals. As they closely scrutinized the box while running their fingers against its surface, they could see and feel the alien-like symbols carved into it. Joe, with a shocked expression on his face, said, "What the hell? Is it just me, or does those three characters on the box look like K-E-Y?" As the generals all looked over at Team Uno, everyone in the room was amazed to find words from Earth inscribed onto the box. The commotion inside the law office caught the attention of persons on the outside, who only came around to hear Team Uno's ordeal and potentially earn a token or two for fulfilling any urgent or meticulous task the generals needed to be done. Jemski's heart raced with excitement as he squatted down next to the mysterious box, his fingers trembling with anticipation. Carefully tracing his hand along the surface, he felt the etchings of the earth-like words and symbols, their significance gradually dawning on him. The room fell silent, each member of the group captivated by Jemski's contemplation. Without taking his eyes off the box, he calmly asked, "What are the chances those earth-like words or symbols carried the same meaning as words on Earth?" The room stayed quiet. Lady V's sharp intellect and Mr. Major's astute perception allowed them to grasp the implications of Jemski's observation swiftly. It wasn't merely a solitary Earth word adorning the box. There were multiple. This revelation sparked a flicker of hope within them, suggesting the tantalizing possibility that further connections to Earth might await discovery. Their minds whirred with excitement, envisioning a trove of knowledge and understanding that could be unlocked. With a calm determination, Jemski rose from his squat and made his way towards the door. He exchanged a fleeting glance with Lady V and Mr. Major, silently communicating his intentions. As he approached a woman standing nearby, their eyes met briefly, filled with unspoken understanding. Jemski whispered something to the woman in hushed tones, his words carrying a sense of urgency. Instantly comprehending the gravity of the situation, she nodded, her eyes reflecting a mix of curiosity and determination. Without wasting a moment, she swiftly turned and disappeared through the doorway, her footsteps echoing faintly in the distance. The room held its collective breath, enveloped in an air of anticipation. Lady V and Mr. Major exchanged a look, their minds teeming with questions. What had Jemski asked of the woman? Where was she going? As time ticked away, the room remained suspended in a mixture of eager anticipation and patient restraint. The group understood that the answers they sought could lie just beyond the door, carried by the woman who had now become an emissary of their collective curiosity. They waited, their hearts yearning for the promised revelations that may reshape their understanding of the world around them. Shortly thereafter, a breathless man burst into the room, simultaneously panting for air and shouting, "Vest, hold up! What do we have here? Why wasn't I called to this fucking party? I know this isn't the M30 meeting, but you could have at least called seats 5, 14, 19, and 20. One of Jewel's people had to come to tell me that this was happening. Seat 16's communication network shouldn't have to be the way I find out about this interrogation or the discovery of this mystery box." Jemski, listen to me, Vest. Would you like to be summoned and informed for every and all crimes, or would you like to be a part of dishing out all punishments within the settlement? I just sent the word out with a messenger to get you and a few others. The reason you knew this was going on is because my message got to you first. Are you dumb, or are you stupid? Calm down and think for a second. Vest. Okay, all right, I hear what you're saying, and I don't want to be a part of your stupid punishment committee or whatever this law office is about. Just run me the information, and I'll let you know if anything is useful to me and my engineers. You three might have to repeat this telling of events again with seat number 20, but they just managed to create paper. And I heard today they had pens. So there will be a record of humanity's first expedition, and you three will definitely be remembered for all of human existence. After Team Uno, for the second time, gave their story, Vest was excited to venture out into the forest himself, but got a sharp glare from Joe, who was feeling off about the way they told the story the second time. Once Vest heard all that they had to say, he sat on the floor and thought in silence for a few seconds and said, "The ongoing collaboration between our zone, Lady V's associates, and Joe's skilled testers is proving fruitful. The resources at our disposal and the ideas we've been developing are set to enhance the settlement significantly within the coming month. The information is useful, yes, but we have surpassed that level of information. The existence of those creatures is new information, and the safe zones are also something new, but the box is the big news, and I would like to touch it in all the places that I shouldn't. Joe, I know it's not the M30 yet, Vest, but I would like you to give us an idea of how the information team Uno brought back could be helpful to the current advancement being developed. Vest, our work is absolutely captivating. Let's delve into the fascinating world of carbon trees. We've made a groundbreaking revelation that when these trees reach a specific thickness, they exhibit a unique behavior. They snap at the base. However, the wonder doesn't end there. In a truly remarkable display of resilience, most of these trees spring back up from their trunks after the snapping event. This intriguing behavior has inspired our engineers to experiment with applying gradual force to the trees, leading to exciting advancements in creating carbon swords using this remarkable property. Now let's turn our attention to the astonishing gel plants, the epitome of versatility and innovation. These captivating organisms possess an exceptional ability to absorb and extract mineral resources with unparalleled efficiency. The potential applications are truly awe-inspiring. During your recent return, we made an intriguing discovery. Unbeknownst to you, the gel plants you had on your person were actually feeding on you. Their efficient extraction of water and minerals from your body is an astounding phenomenon, and fortunately, the species you encountered were not hazardous. If those plants were the iron gel version, your bones and blood would have been done for. This next segment is going to tell you about the versatility of these plants that I mentioned earlier. In our settlements fields, we've planted a multitude of gel plants, which have proven to be highly effective mineral miners. By providing them with the materials we've discovered, these remarkable plants autonomously seek out and extract whatever resources they require. Initially, we utilized them for iron extraction, but our exploration into the forest led us to an even more astonishing find, a steel tree. Though the mechanisms behind its growth and functionality remain mysterious, the sheer marvel of this planet's offerings leaves us in awe. Even the ground around them is richer than the already rich soil around the settlement. But for some reason, no plants within 30 meters of the steel tree grows. Now I hope you guys are listening. This part is a little wild. The forest bugs have also gifted us a profound discovery. Its blood and stomach fluid have been revealed to possess remarkable properties that significantly accelerate the production and growth of plants. A true mineral mining boon. Another remarkable finding is the presence of petrifying gas. This gas presents itself as an exciting resource with myriad applications. We envision its potential for trapping animals or even serving as an ultimate defensive tool. However, we face the thrilling challenge of adapting the gel plants to interact effectively with this unique gas. Our progress in material production has been nothing short of exhilarating, which resulted in an abundance of weapons, tools, and accessories that greatly enhanced our capabilities. There is a skilled but forgettable man named Mr. Sodium, who is particularly enthralled with the wealth of high-end pure minerals we've come across for him to test and work with. As explorations continued, we encountered an ever-varying array of creatures in the forest, just like you did, Team Uno. Some remain elusive, defying our efforts to capture and study them. Truly comprehending their nature and behavior demands direct observation in their natural habitat, a captivating and deeply enthralling pursuit. Ben. Oh? I've listened, but I haven't heard you mention anything about the flame bird. Our time in the forest led us to encounter fascinating fauna. Among them, we discovered a bird with explosive blood, a spectacle of awe and intrigue. This avian marvel displays an extraordinary reaction when in contact with H2O. It could be to any foreign fluid, but to be honest, we don't know as of yet, but it unleashes an explosive phenomenon. Additionally, no one is talking about our encounter with the Snider and its exceptionally robust legs that hold tremendous potential for weapon development. The thrill of these discoveries and the potential to craft things from their life essence is clearly far beyond what this Vest person can imagine. Who placed him in charge of development? Vest. Listen, mister, you don't know me and the work that I've been doing here. We have acquired steel in this premature world and found a clear way to extract it by the ounce. Ben. Fucking steel. Ha! Don't make me laugh. I guess I can't blame you for thinking that would be enough. Maybe we did a bad job at telling you how dangerous it was for us. Or maybe we just overestimated the snake. If stabbing it in the eyes or one of its unguarded orifice is your plan, then I guess it will be easy. Annoyed at what Vest was saying, Ben took the lead in sharing the behavior of the animals he analyzed and the unique properties of the plants he had encountered. With a scientific zeal, he meticulously broke down his findings and developed theories on how these natural elements could be harnessed to advance various scientific disciplines. Concurrently, Mr. Major's focus was on the landscape of the forest, specifically the mountainous crater walls and the intricate cave systems. He highlighted the potential dangers posed by the environment's flora and fauna to the human race. His discussion centered around understanding the various hazards and challenges that the settlement's inhabitants might face as they continue their exploration, expansion, and development of the region. On the other hand, General Joe was captivated by what he heard of Timmons' exceptional leadership skills. Yes, he may have started off rocky, but Joe could recognize that such qualities were crucial for any competent soldier. The general saw an opportune moment to leverage Timmons' team's survival experience and insights. They believed that now was the perfect time to initiate preparations to mold their people into well-rounded individuals, proficient in various skills, not limited by a single area of expertise, but adaptable and versatile in all aspects. It wasn't any secret that Joe was gathering skilled fighters and survivalists among the settlement to help him with his program, but he knew that Team Uno was the final piece he was missing. And not just the team, but that healthy piece of specimen known as Mr. Major. He for sure had skills and judgment. Plus, from the look in his eye, he was also brimming with strong fighting spirit and experience to survive. That man had what it took to get everyone back home, along with the team Joe had managed to put together. Amidst the discussions, Lady V listened intently to the perspectives of her companions. While she acknowledged that the discussions and decisions made seemed appropriate, she couldn't shake the feeling that they might be underestimating the significance of the mysterious box and its potential implications. They were, after all, on an alien planet, surrounded by carnivorous insects, plants, and animals, situated in what appeared to be a dormant volcano at high altitudes. Lady V pointed out the enigmatic nature of the box, clearly of machined origin, and expressed concern about the possibility of a functioning alien civilization existing beyond their current confines. An intelligence that could impact their journey to return home. Joe.
Alien Schmalian. Who gives a fuck?
Lady V. Joe, keep your thoughts to yourself. Your words are making us look bad. Jemsky.
What she said, you Russian fool.
Joe. Let's worry about the problem at hand. If we start thinking about the Second Coming or Ragnarok, everything will be lost. If we prepare ourselves here just to end up sitting around waiting for something that we don't know, or wait around for something that might not even come, we risk dying without even trying.
Jemsky.
Wow, I would like to apologize for calling you a fooly Russian cunt earlier.
Joe.
Wait, what? You didn't say that?
Lady V.
Listen, Joe doesn't care what happens beyond the crater's walls if there happens to be an enemy out there. Listen to this and tell me how this sounds, since you men clearly can't see or understand our predicament. Imagine looking out over your backyard and you see some rats sneaking into your backyard, and upon getting there, they find a shiny, dormant rat trap. Do you think the rats are making the assumption that they are alone and that the owners of the backyard have no idea they exist, let alone in the backyard? The rats know and are cautious, and they move, knowing that a few may die, but some will survive. Joe's dumb ass thinks that as long as these aliens can't detect us, we might have enough time to prepare for a future war by gathering resources and intel and expanding our reach and influence across the lands. These fucking creatures managed to pull me off my man's dick into deep space and drop me in the middle of a forest with some fucking retards. It was clear that Joe's dismissive response and the brushing off of the concerns about potential alien encounters by others drew disapproval from Jemsky and the others in the room. While they understood the importance of focusing on immediate challenges, they believed it prudent to consider the larger picture. Jemsky apologized for his earlier remark and emphasized the need to be cautious about overlooking potential threats, all while pacing back and forth in the room. His excitement was palpable as he presented the astounding facts to everyone in the know already. Mere weeks ago, humanity had inexplicably teleported to an M-class planet, only to stumble upon a machined box adorned with 1,000 enigmatic symbols. What's more intriguing was that 6 of these symbols to the knowing eye appeared to be of earthly origin, each represented in 6 different languages. This perplexing discovery will definitely lead to some intriguing possibilities in the future, and we may learn if the alien creators were observing humanity from afar, or if this entire planetary experience is an elaborate study of our species and other life forms. Lady V added her thoughts to the mix, suggesting an alternative perspective. Could this be the work of a higher power, perhaps even a divine force, rewarding humanity with a new planet as a testament to our progress and potential? The very idea sent shivers of wonder and awe through her body. Jemsky, whatever our next move is, humanity has come upon its first turning point on the 13th day of the first month in this first new year. Let it be known when Aki comes that everything discussed should be recorded. Actually, where the hell is he? And the other seat members I sent for? I'm a general. Why isn't none of them here yet?